Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Gary Cohn said this on the broadcast, and I'll repeat it because I feel this way every year. It's a disgrace. It is such a joke that Major League Baseball has these ceremonies during baseball games.
Yeah. No, you're right.
It is so foolish.
You're really true.
It is so foolish. I love the Pro Football Hall of Fame inductions. It's an event.
Right.
It's a Saturday night.
Right.
We got the Hall of Fame game the next day. It's the beginning of football.
Right.
Canton, Ohio. And then baseball does it on a Sunday afternoon where I'm too busy watching the Mets get no hit for 8 2/3 innings. Or 8 1/3, whatever it was. And so I don't know when Rob Manfred's going to wake up, and maybe it's not him, but he certainly has the power to use his bully pulpit to change things. And I don't know what the perfect day is.
When would you do it? When would you do it?
So
you know when you do it? I'll tell you when you do it.
All-Star Week.
Right. All-Star Week.
Yeah.
When there's no games.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Maybe the Thursday after the All-Star game, even the Wednesday after the All-Star game.
How about this idea? How about you give the players what they want? Make it an All-Star Week. The whole week they're off. We can even take away Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, all right.
Take
I'm
it
good
off.
With that. I got no issue with that. And then have the Hall of Fame over the weekend?
And have it over the weekend.
Yeah, that's fine.
And it's a baseball weekend. But if they don't want to do that, then I think your idea is fine to do it Thursday or Friday.
Yeah. Because the people are still going to go there for, you know, I mean, look at all the Mariner fans that were there yesterday for Edgar. Never mind Mariano and Messina.
No question. It's just, it's so contradictory. I mean, we love baseball. I love baseball. I love the Hall of Fame stuff for football, for baseball. For whatever reason, basketball doesn't do it as much for me. I don't know why. Maybe they just don't make as big of a deal.
It's not as big a ceremony, though.
It's not as big of a ceremony. Basketball feels mysterious. Feels a little bit more mysterious than football and baseball. And they just do such a disservice to their fans and growing fans by burying it on a Sunday afternoon. I'm a Met fan. Guys out there, gals out there, you're Yankee fans. You're watching your team play.
Right, yeah.
And then you'll get to the speeches if you can.
Right.
That's what I did.
Right.
At night, I was like, all right, let me get to some of these speeches. I didn't even watch all of them.
You'd probably be better off doing it at night as well because you're doing it on a Sunday afternoon. Even if you're not watching your team, it's a gorgeous day out in the middle of July. You know, maybe you're at the beach, maybe you're at the pool.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you're doing.
I
mean,
agree.
It's not really the optimum time to do it.
Yeah, I agree. You do it late afternoon, early night. I mean, I know it's a long day because you have a lot of speeches, but you're probably right. I mean, especially yesterday when it was 105
degrees. But
they
could also limit the speeches, too. I mean, they could cut them down that you only have a certain amount of time you can talk.
Right. They start playing music towards the end. They try to get you off the stage it's an award show.
Right.
But one thing I love about the Hall of Fame, this is a geeky side of me, is I love reading the plaque. And the reason I love it. Because what I love about the plaque, especially when I go to the Hall of Fame now, and I'm planning on going soon, maybe next couple of weeks to go back to Cooperstown. I like going there every 4 years, three, 4 years, is you get the sense of what we thought about that player at that time. So if you go back and read Wee Willie Keeler's plaque,
it
is written in a very different way. It is not written as a historian looking back at
hit him
where they ain't.
Right.
Absolutely. I'm using
him.
Right. I love that. So you go to Ted Williams' plaque. They're writing it from when he was inducted.
Right.
And so I think it shows you the feeling towards a guy. And I'm going to sound like a jerk, but I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I'm reading all these plaques. The Mariano one, great. Oh, it's so perfect. The ERA in the postseason.
Yeah.
The Carter.
Well, you can't go wrong.
I read Harold Baines. And I came away thinking, even the writer of the plaque knows he's not a Hall of Famer. Listen to this writing, and you tell me.
Yeah, let me hear it. Did he go in as a White Sox, by the way? I guess so.
He went in as a White Sox, yeah.
Only Messina went in with no hat?
Yes, he went in with no blank hat. Because he feels like he did a lot for both, and I think that's fair.
I think
with Baines, it's easy. I mean, there's really no
Baines is
where
easy.
You're putting him.
Right.
Respected and clutch left-handed hitter whose professional approach and humble demeanor made him one of the most consistent and reliable players of the 80s and 90s. Right there. I mean, reliable.
Right.
He's respected.
Right.
He's
a
humble demeanor. Let's talk about his demeanor because God knows we can't talk about him being a Hall of Famer. Right fielder and the heart of the lineup for the 1983 AL West champion White Sox.
Come on.
The AL West champion.
That's what they put on it?
Yeah. Oh, it continues. persevered through knee injuries to earn outstanding designated hitter of the year award in his first two seasons at the position in 87 and 88. It's not even a position. I didn't even know they had that award. Does anybody even care about it?
No, I had no clue.
Six-time All-Star.
And how long did it take a DH to get into Hall of Fame with Edgar?
Yeah, it took a while. Six-time All-Star, first overall selection in the 1997 MLB draft. That's key. Got to put that in there.
Of course. Why not?
Total 28, 66 hits and drove in 16, 28 runs. Retired 21st on the all-time RBI list. There's nothing about that plaque that says he's a Hall of Famer.
Nothing.
That is the most nondescript. I don't even know why I'm writing this. I guess I have to because Tony La Russa got him in. That's what that is. I know I shouldn't. I sort of feel bad for Harold Baines. I feel bad because I don't even know if he thinks he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Well, he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, like you said, the only two yesterday that were absolute 100% locks are Mariano and Holiday. I mean, Holiday's a Hall of Famer. To me, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, he is.
Yeah. When you read Roy Halladay's plaque, you feel the dominance.
Yeah, sure.
Top of the rotation workhorse. Those are the first four words. How many? One, two, three.
Yep.
Four words.
Yep.
Top of the rotation workhorse. Blistering, sinking fastball, pinpoint control, earning Cy Young Awards in both leagues, 659 winning percent. I mean, you're reading this and you're like, that's a Hall of Famer.
Of course.
And you read Harold Baines. Hey, he's reliable and he's a good dude.
He's great locker room
great
presence.
Great locker room guy. But I love these plaques. I'm telling you, next time anybody listens to
this. What's it say about Lee Smith? You got Lee Smith's plaque?
Yeah, let me get that one.
Yeah, Lee Smith. Can't wait to hear this.
Yeah, I didn't. For some reason, I didn't read that.
Well, he's the all time saves leader at the time he retired.
Right. I'm sure they write that.
Well, they have to.
Michael Cole Messina, Harry Leroy Halladay, Harold Douglas Baines, Edgar Martinez. There it is. Lee Arthur Smith. You ready?
Go ahead.
Combined bat-shattering fastball and darting slider to save 478 games, topping the all-time list for more than a decade. That's not bad. It's convincing.
Right.
Originally a multi-inning relief ace, totaled 169 saves of more than three outs, transitioned into feared one-inning closer as bullpen roles specialized, becoming the first to record at least 30 saves in 10 different seasons. Named to seven All-Star teams and earned his league's Reliever of the Year honors three times, retired with the highest strikeout rate among pitchers with at least 700 relief appearances.
Well, that's a lot more than Harold Baines.
Oh, yeah, that's solid.
It's not even close.
No, that's actually well written.
I didn't realize he had 169 saves of three outs or more.
Yeah, and I think that's
a pretty good. That's a number that I did not know about Lee Smith.
And, you know, when I say about they write it for the era, that's why they wrote that. Because I think for us in 2019, jumps out at us.
It definitely does.
So, I'm telling you, you go to the Hall of Fame.
He played your whole career with the Cubs? Did he go anywhere else?
No. Lee Smith? Yeah. He was everywhere.
Where
he was
with
the Yankees, the Angels, the Cardinals.
I don't remember all these other teams.
Well, with the Yankees, they traded for him at the deadline in 93.
How many years did he play with the Cubs?
Seven years. Here's the breakdown.
Only 7 years with the Cubs?
Yeah. He's wearing a Cub hat, though.
Well, he should.
7 years with the Cubs, 88 to 90 with the Red Sox, 90 to 93 with the Cardinals, which for me growing up, I think of him as a Cardinal. Yeah. That's just me because of my age.
To me, Lee Smith's always a Cub.
No, I totally get that. He is, but I'm just saying growing up.
Right.
He went to the Yankees at the trade deadline in 93, Orioles in 94, Angels in 95 and 96, Reds in 96, Expos in 97.
Wow.
But he's obviously a Cub. There's no doubt. Yeah.
They'll have the statue right next back between Billy Williams and Ernie Banks outside Wrigley.
They're giving him a statue now?
I don't know. I mean, would it surprise you? Ron Santo has a statue, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah,
I'm not knocking Ron Santo,
but
I mean, you know. I mean, Billy Williams and Ernie Banks is a no-brainer. But, I mean, Ron Santo's in the Hall of Fame. Lee Smith's going in. They're probably giving him a statue.
No, you may be right. You may be right. But read plaques when you go to the Hall of Fame, and the writing is so, because they're writing it for when, right now.
That is that's a good point.
I love it. I'm a sucker for that. I spend more time at the actual Hall of Fame reading the
plaque. But see, if you didn't really see Lee Smith pitch and didn't know Lee Smith, and you read that plaque, wow, this guy's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, do you feel that way about Harold Baines?
Definitely not.
He's respected.
And he gave him nothing.
They basically said, we don't believe this.
Right.
I don't even know who writes the plaque. I don't know how that's done.
I don't know.
Kind of intrigued now by that, but whoever writes the plaque did not believe what they were writing. You know? It's like writing a book report in high school, and you didn't read the book, and you have no interest in writing about the book. That's what the poor writer for the Harold Baines plaque did. But I watched Mariano's speech. It was, you know, speeches are tough.
Yeah, everybody there. Jeter was there, too, huh?
Yeah, Jeter was there. He thanked all his teammates. He told a story about Joe Torre. He thanked his family. Thanked his in-laws for watching his kids. The funniest line was, he says to one of his sons, you know, I missed your birthday a lot, and I feel terrible about that. But it was October 4th. I was on a mission every October.
Is that what he said?
So he had a good excuse. Yankee fans love that.
Yeah, well, yeah. Sure.
Forget the kid's birthday. Right, it's October, baby. Right. That's what they're thinking.
Of course.
Mariano's one of those guys. Hopefully I'm on this earth 40 years from now, and I'm taking my grandkid to the Hall of Fame.
Right, and you're going to say how great he was.
Yeah, he's one. Because, and I don't mean any disrespect to, I'm going to use Derek Jeter as an example, because he's going to get in soon enough.
Next year, right?
Next year, right? Is next year the year
I think
for Jeter
so,
already?
Yeah. I think it is.
Derek Jeter's great. Derek Jeter's a Hall of Famer. But I've seen a lot of Hall of Famers. I have. So have you. Mariano's different. He's one of those guys where you're going to say, you've never seen anything like this. And I think there's very... Tony Gwynn is like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've never... Well, obviously, until recently, we met Jeff McNeil. But before that, never seen anything like Tony Gwynn. You like that?
I love it.
But there are very few guys that fit that. Roy Halladay was great. Nah, don't get me wrong.
No, he's a Hall of Famer, too. He's, no,
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
I love the fact that this guy would complete
games. But
there's
been a lot of dominant starting pitchers over the years.
Exactly.
A lot of them.
Exactly. Mariano Rivera is that guy that you talk about 50 years from now, and you say you can't believe it. And so, I know he's a closer, and right. It's become specialized.
He's the first guy you talk, when you talk about closers in the history of baseball, he's the first guy.
Yeah.
It's Mariano.
No
and then
doubt.
There's everybody else.
And then there's everybody else.
And in starting pitchers, there's, you know, 10 guys you could say, well, there's him and then this guy. No, but Mariano's by himself.
For you, the starting pitcher is Colfax?
Colfax is one, and probably Gibson is two.
Where's Seaver? Three? Where do you put other guys?
I probably put, I don't know, Seaver's up there. But I got to, you know, I also got to look at the guys like Pedro and Greg Maddux and guys like that, Randy Johnson, you know. Those are guys, Seaver's certainly in the top 10. But the first two guys, you know, and probably the top five. But the first two guys that jump at me in my mind, maybe it's because it's the 60s and this was my heyday of growing up for baseball.
Right.
Colfax and Gibson.
I get it.
Those are the guys.
I think it's Pedro because his dominance, even though it was a short period of time, dominance didn't last 15 years, was something I've never seen in the American League East and the steroid
Pedro's
era.
Top 10 all time to me. Starting pitcher, he's top 10.
Yeah, and Maddux was a magician too.
He was great. And Randy Johnson's got to be up there.
Yeah. Now, we had a lot of good pitchers in the last...
No doubt. In the steroid era.
In the steroid era,
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.